From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. It's Idaho Matters. Less than a month after the World Health Organization said monkeypox is no longer a global public health emergency, the CDC is reporting an increase in cases, and Oregon officials are urging folks in that state to get vaccinated before a possible summer surge in cases. And the CDC says at least one study might show mutations of monkeypox that are drug resistant. And if you thought COVID was over, think again. You could still have COVID in your heart and in your brain. And that could mean very bad things for the future. It's Wednesday, and it's time for our Doctor Roundtable. Joining us today to answer these questions is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. And as always, if you have a public health question, send us an email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Hi, Dr. Pate. How are you?
Good. How are you, Samantha?
I'm good. What's going on? The CDC is saying there might be an increase in cases of monkeypox and there might be mutations. What's happening?
Yeah, this is another example that just because a designation goes away, like the ending of a public health emergency, that doesn't mean that the infection and the disease have gone away. And it's quite right, Samantha, we have recently seen some outbreaks with monkeypox. So for your listeners who haven't kept up with this very closely or maybe have kind of forgotten about this with all the other news, we started seeing monkeypox in the United States and across the world back in June of last year. Monkeypox is an infection we first identified back in 1958, but the first case, and we identified it in monkeys, so that's where the name came from. But the first case of an infection in a human was actually a 9-month-old in 1970. And since then, there have been periodic outbreaks in Africa, which, as a global society, we have largely overlooked and not spent the time researching and developing vaccines and things that I hope we are learning the lessons from. And so what happened is that this virus took off in a very different way. In these past outbreaks, they've been in close communities where there's been close contact, but this outbreak that started globally last year has been predominantly driven through sexual contact, particularly around either gay men or bisexual men. Now, that doesn't mean that there haven't been infections of heterosexuals or have, but they've been predominantly in this population of gay and bisexual men. And so we have been using a medication for those that get infected, and we have a vaccine that we rolled out last year. The problem, as you mentioned, is after the activity really peaked in about August of last year, in total, the United States has had over 30,000 cases, and about a little over 40 people have died from this disease. But after August, it really declined. And in fact, here in Idaho, we really haven't had any cases, I think, since the end of September of last year. But now what has happened is we had an outbreak of about 13 cases in Chicago. And of special concern is 2/3 of them had been vaccinated. So that is raising questions about whether we're going to see more outbreaks of this infection, particularly over the summer as the weather gets nicer. We have these international festivals where a lot of people travel from all over the world, have contact with each other, and then can take it back to their communities. So that is the concern. And as you also mentioned, Samantha, there have been some cases in one area of California where there's a genetic change in the virus that does look like it renders the antiviral we have called Tecovirimat ineffective. You'll remember we've talked at long times over the past few years that RNA viruses mutate very frequently. So that's things like influenza and the SARS-CoV-2 virus that we're dealing with. They really mutate very frequently. Monkeypox is not an RNA virus. It's a DNA virus. And so they don't tend to mutate as often or as fast. However, the target for this antiviral is dependent on only one little spot in the monkeypox gene. So if you change it by just one amino acid, which is the smallest change you can have, then all of a sudden the antiviral doesn't work. And that's what they've spotted. That doesn't mean that will be true of all cases, but it is an issue, and it means we've got to have more research into antivirals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Dr. Pate, you had some very concerning blog posts come out over Memorial Day weekend, and I can't imagine what your barbecue was like, if that's what you were thinking about. You wrote about what we know and we don't know about long COVID, and you looked at some really scary issues involving what COVID might leave behind in our bodies. So I want to start with that, because that really kind of hooked on me. Heart issues and brain issues. Let's start with the heart first. There's some theories that that COVID may be hanging around and causing more problems with our hearts.
Well, first of all, Samantha, you've mentioned I'm quite the downer at parties, so that's why I don't get invited to many barbecues. But yes, I have mentioned many times over the past couple of years on the show that, you know, we're spending way too much time focused on deaths from COVID, which are certainly alarming and things to be paid attention to, but not to the exclusion of everything else that's happening. We've specifically talked about long COVID many times, but one of the things I kept mentioning is that we need to be careful and not complacent, because we're seeing signals. That's not proof, but if we're just seeing some things happen that are out of the ordinary and raise some concern about other long-term effects of having had COVID. And so the first one that came out, we actually first got some fairly concerning evidence about this about February of last year, that we were seeing an increase in heart attacks in the year following even a mild COVID infection. And that's important, because if you look at our public health data over the past decades, we've been lowering heart attacks and mortalities from heart attacks over these last couple of decades. I think in large part because we've been really addressing smoking and decreasing smoking in people, but other things like educating the public about the signs of a heart attack and getting quick care, which if you do, a lot of times we can save the heart muscle. So we've had this trend of heart attacks going down, but it reversed with the pandemic. And most concerningly, while everybody's been focused during the pandemic about, well, you know, this is really a problem for old people and it's not really a problem for kids or younger adults, actually the greatest increase in risk for dying from a heart attack following in the year following COVID was actually in the 25 to 44 age group. That risk went up 30%. Now, keep in mind, of course, the baseline for heart attacks in 25 to 44 year olds is low relative to other older age groups, but the increase in the number of heart attacks that led to death that we're seeing in that age group increased the most, about 30%. Yeah. So Lots of thoughts about that, and certainly we're not exactly sure why, but we do know that the virus does cause disturbances to the blood circulation, the blood vessels, and particularly smaller blood vessels. And it inflames them. It can cause them to get stiff. We've got growing evidence of that. And so one thought is that it is the virus itself affecting these arteries that actually supply the blood to the heart, to the heart muscle. Another thought is that it's actually our immune response to the virus, and that possibly that explains why would we see the greatest increase in 25 to 44 year olds. Well, they tend to mount a bigger immune response than people that are my age. And so that's a thought. And then, of course, we also have identified that a lot of people after COVID do make these so-called microclots that are like little tiny blood clots, but they're not normal blood clots. They're combined with abnormal protein. And so that's also a thought. We don't know why, but it is something that we should be concerned about and monitor for.
Well, if that isn't scary enough, let's jump into the brain. You were looking at some recent studies that are talking about maybe the virus or a little bit of the virus is still hanging around in parts of our bodies, maybe in the skull and the lining of the brain, and that could be causing problems. You're talking about things like dementia and Alzheimer's disease getting worse because of this?
Yes. So for some time, the last couple of years, we've been concerned about whether there are some folks who get COVID but don't completely clear the virus from their body, or at least have a delayed clearance of that. And a part of it is, and this is being very debated as to why would this would happen, and even if it happens, but we've first found evidence suggesting maybe it was hanging out in our guts. And the thought was that it might be one of two things. First of all, we do know there's a temporary immune disturbance that occurs when you get COVID, and the immune system, because the virus affects it, may not work properly for a while. So that's one theory. Another theory is that this virus is getting into places that we call that have immune privilege, meaning that our immune cells just don't get into those particular hideouts very well. And so that was a thought. And we've long thought that this could be an explanation for why some people get long COVID, because if the virus or its proteins are hanging around, it may be constantly producing inflammation and stimulation of the immune system, even though the immune system is not able to get rid of the virus or its proteins completely. So that's been a thought and a concern. What was more recent is now some preliminary evidence suggesting that, just as you said, this some of the viral proteins may hang out in between our skulls and the lining of the brain, where we know the immune system can't get there very effectively. And that, in fact, there's a part of the brain that's way deep in the brain where we actually see disturbances of some of the brain cells there. And what happens after COVID is that those cells now become less effective at repairing themselves and regenerating brain cells after injury. And these are changes that we see in certain dementias like Alzheimer's disease. And in fact, what we have seen and are trying to explain, and this may be part of the explanation, is that people that have early dementia who get COVID, many do seem to have acceleration in the decline of their dementia. And then we're seeing some other people that appeared to be at risk for dementia but didn't have it, that get COVID and then develop it. So obviously much more for us to learn, but this is not a cause for panic, but this is really a wake-up call that, look, it's not just about not dying from COVID, it's about maintaining our health. So that, again, that doesn't mean that we put our lives on hold, but it means don't be complacent. And still, where there is, where it's practical and feasible, I would still take protections, especially when we know there's more virus going around.
Absolutely. Scary stuff. But like you said, approach it with a measure of caution and be careful. I mean, that's the trick.
Exactly.
Dr. Pate, have we told you lately how much we appreciate you here every week on Idaho Matters?
Oh, well, you guys are great at showing me your appreciation, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm just glad it can help some people.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. We've been speaking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. He'll be back next week on our Doctor Roundtable. Thanks, Dr. Pate.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
Two men of color vanished after last being seen in the same deputy's patrol car.
I knew something was wrong. Your mother knows.
It's the strangest case, the most unsettling case.
Listen to The Last Ride podcast, part of the NPR Network.